here we go.
Stand by.
Well, old Buddha was a man, and I'm sure that he meant well. But I pray for his disciples, lest they wind up in hell. And I'm sure that old Mohammed thought he knew the way. But it won't be Hare Krishna we stand before on the judgment day. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun, not heaven. Well, I don't hate anybody, so please don't take me wrong. But there really is a message in this simple song. You see, there's only one way, Jesus, if eternal life is your goal. And meditation of the mind, it won't save your soul. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun, not heaven. Well, you can call yourself a Baptist and not be born again, a Presbyterian or a Methodist and still die in your sin. You can't even be charismatic, shout and dance and jump a pew. But if you hate your brother, you won't be one of the chosen few. Cause it won't be a Baptist that's sitting on the throne, a Presbyterian or a Methodist that's calling us home. And it won't be a charismatic that plays that trumpet tune. Let's all just live for Jesus, because he's coming back real soon. It won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun, not Reverend Moon. And we're going to see the sun, not Reverend Moon. Not Reverend Moon.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Watch Me for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Oh, we're going to hit it tonight. Maybe we'll conclude tonight the study of the millennial reign, and I hope that we'll get a lot out of it tonight. Everybody talks about the past. I mean, I'm guilty of it, as anybody. I try to put another twist to it to bring it up to reality of how it affects our lives, not some, you know, study of the trees. I like to study the forest. What's the big picture here? You know, they always say, buy freeze-dried food. Get on my website, freeze-dried food, buy gold, whatever. You know, I don't have it on my website. I don't want it and don't have it, no need for it. I mean, it's nice to, you know, having all that, but it's temporary. You know, it's just temporary. But here's the deal. Buy this, buy that. And there's nothing wrong with that, I guess. You know, they need it for the to pay the bills and the electric bill and all this and all that. You know, when they do their own broadcasting and network and so forth and so on. But they do the advertisement. I just haven't gotten into that. It's just not in my heart to do it. Even to write a book, it's not in it. There's only one book. It's the King James Bible. You know, and that's, you know, I'm not here to exalt myself or to, God will take care of me, you know, in one way or another somehow. You know, I trust that. And I really do. So I'm just not into the marketing stuff. I just not my thing. Nothing wrong with it. Don't get me wrong. But I just, it's not my calling to make money out of doing what I do right now. It takes care of me other ways and it settles that. But here's the deal. They say, buy this, buy that, be prepared, get your bug out bag and get ready to go. But they never tell you what to do when you run out. Buy it, but keep going. Now what? What do you do after you run out? What do you do when they say, well, it's illegal to sell your gold when they declare martial law? They're not telling you that. You see, I'd have to say, all right, buy gold, get on my website, PayPal, buy carrot, lickety split, something other, and call this and do that, and call it 1-800 and all that. Oh, by the way, they're going to confiscate the gold, though, also when you have it. But go ahead and buy it from me anyway. That's not going to go over so well in some places. You know what I mean? You can buy it from me, so I get your commission. You know, whatever, whatever they do, I don't even know how it works. But, by the way, when they declare martial law, and they will, they're just going to confiscate it. But go ahead and buy it from me anyway. You see? And a freeze-dried food. Great. You know, you buy your freeze-dried food and all this and all that. What do you do when you run out of it? What do you do? Nobody tells you that. Why? Why not keep going? Yeah, you see. I can't stop at just one place and not look to the end of it. You know, as far as I can go, until I can't take it apart anymore. To try to find the truth, you know, the answer to it. What's the bottom line? If there's another Bible that I'd say, well, it's just as good as the King James, like the Young's literal translation, YLT or whatever. I'd say King James Bible, Young's literal translation, get the NASB. They're all the same. Well, I can't do that because they're not. They're missing bad, the others. I mean, they are. You know, they're corrupted Bibles by design. If I tell you, let's say I've got 100% prediction prophet, and I say, well, in 2 feet you got a tsunami at 200 feet tall coming at you, whatever. You're going to react to it. You're going to get in your car and take off and run and all this. You're going to react to, oh my God, we got to get okay. Or if I tell you that, well, you better not go out in your car because somebody's pouring sugar in your gas tank. You know why? Well, I saw it. I'm looking with my binoculars. You're not going to say, oh, honey, somebody's pouring sugar in our gas tank. Oh, okay, well, whatever. No, you're going to react. He's going to get his gun, and you're going to get your broomstick, or maybe you got a gun, too. I don't know. Maybe you got a pink 9mm. I don't know why. And you're going to run outside, and you're going to do something, right? Because you have a threat. Well, when I get on my broadcast, and I tell people, the churches have been infiltrated by design, by the communists, to corrupt the communist infiltration of American churches has happened with evidence. It's just like, well, it's just another broadcast and it's no problem. Whatever. That was interesting, was it? Yeah, it was. Nobody, you would think some church would say, let's do something about it. They'd say that a school system would say, well, let's change the curriculum. Somebody do something. They don't. Nobody takes action. They just have meetings and tea parties have meetings and they eat buffet or something. I don't know. They pass out sugar, but pass out certificates and sign rosters and sell items on the board and pass out brochures and things. And then they go home and they do it the next week and we feel like we did something. Yeah, you wasted gas. Uh-huh. And you go to church. They sit there in the pew and do the water duck. You know what the water duck is? Where the head goes up and down? Oh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Then it's over with, and they go back. Oh, I forgot to reach out. And they reach out, drop the money in the pot, and come back. Do the head duck some more. Dick and duck, dip and duck, whatever. Oh, that was a great lesson, wasn't it? Yeah, I loved it. Preacher, I like him. Oh, yeah, his wife nice. Nice house, good kids. Oh, yeah, great. Mm-hmm. And the next Sunday, same old thing. But nobody takes Jesus as their Savior. Some do, but very few. They think because of going there, they've heard a good sermon, that's all it is. Well, no, it's not all there is. You got to take action. If you're not getting, if you know when you do something wrong, you know when you've told a little lie, you've had a thought that, you know, it's something, you know, this mercy seat, shedding the blood on the mercy seat, that was lamb blood. And then Jesus took the place of that. It wasn't Jesus' blood sinking through the cracks and on the mercy seat and all that to forgiveness of sins. Well, back then, that was before the Jesus. It was the sacrifice of an innocent lamb for your sins was what the practice was in preparation for anticipation of the real sacrifice of Jesus. The shedding of innocent blood for your sins for that year. Well, Jesus fulfilled that. It was in preparation for that. So, when I sin, I'll know it because that Holy Spirit is inside and I've told a lie. It just nags at you. Nags at you. Makes you just uncomfortable. It's like, oh man, it's like, oh gosh, I got to go back and apologize. I got to go back and turn that back in. I got to give those that dollar back. I got to find out if that $5 belongs to, you see, it's going to nag at you. Well, that's God spanking you. He's spanking you. And that's a good thing. Because that means you are born again. That means you maybe committed a sin, but you have that guilt. Now, when you don't have that guilt and you can do it and justify it, but you go to church. Now, here's the point. You go to church, do the dip and dunk. Oh, it was a great lesson. Oh, yeah. Put the money in the pot. That's all you do. Did you go to the altar? Oh, yeah. I went to the altar when I was 10 years old. Or I went to the altar when I was 21. But you still can sin. You go to the lodge and it doesn't bother you at all. Man, you are never born again. That's why I say Christianity is the worst religion there is. Because people there are fooled by their preachers. Rabbis, priests, that they're saved by one way or another, and there's 37,000 different sects of SECTS of religion, of Christianity. Goodness gracious. And that's what that song, I played that song, that's what that means. It's not the religion, it's not the preacher, not the rabbi, which you're not supposed to call him that anyway. I'll never do that. I call him by his first name. I'm Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. You're a Kahn, all right. But Jonathan, hey, buddy, you know, let's talk. I'm a rabbi. Now, you know rabbi. There's only one. I'll never call him a rabbi and never going to call him a father neither. Because there's only one. That's Jesus Christ. That's it. You see? I'm going to dedicate the broadcast tonight, Ezekiel 38:39. I know, I'm going to get ambitious. Let's see how far we get. May go over a little bit, not much. 5 or 10 minutes, I don't know. Ezekiel 38:39, and we'll talk about the millennium and the people in the millennium. I'll do the best I can with that one. And family, don't believe anything I say. No, I don't want you to believe anything I say. You do your own research, your own. Your own. Doggone it, do your own research. You know? And pray. If you don't understand the these and thous, pray about it. Get you a cue card or something, whatever. But other Bibles, as I was saying a little while ago, they're corrupted. It's slap dab. About as corrupted as you can imagine. And it's not accidental. It's not so it's easier to read. It's so you will be corrupted in your studies. And it's to match the New Age, bringing in the Sanan Emanuel, to corrupt the Bibles to lessen the trust you have in them. When you've got Bible study and the preacher reads a verse and you've got an NIV or he's got an NIV, you got a King James, the next door has got a New American Standard, and everybody's got a different Bible, and the preacher's reading or the lesson's being done, and you've got something different in yours, or you're missing the verses, how much faith are you going to have subconsciously in that Bible? You're not. And that's the purpose of it. One of many purposes. That's the only purpose, really. is to discredit the Bible, to give you false doctrine by design. It's like somebody saying, hey, somebody's putting sugar in your gas tank. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm missing verses in my Bible. I'm going to change Bibles. I'm not going to keep doing it because it's my great-grandmother's that gave it to me, or the preacher does it so I can do it too. That's all excuses, man. For missing verses, I want another Bible that's got all the verses in it. Why is that such a difficult? Anyway, let's dedicate the broadcast. And, Lord, we thank you tonight. We come together in a Bible study, Father. We thank you for bringing us together once again. Lord, we lift up to you our worship, our study. We lift up to you, Father, our families. We lift up to you, Father, our sins, that you forgive them. Father, we pray tonight you lead us in this Bible study of these end times events. And Father, to lead me, that I will be able to hear your voice, Father, and let it come out. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters and their families, for the healing. Father, to start softening hearts and cover the blood of Jesus around those, Father, that's praying out. Father, we pray for next week. We pray for this weekend, Father, that your Holy Spirit will counter these sacrifices, these curses that this weekend's going to bring. Father, we pray against the Mabon. We pray against this weekend that is, Father, is of the satanic worship that's going on the 21st. Father, we call upon you to hear our prayer, that we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because, Father, we plead that precious, uncorruptible blood of Jesus over ourselves, over our families, and, Father, over those that we pray for that are in touch with these sacrifices and being sought after as victims, and, Father, against their conduct of these sacrifices and these celebrations of these Wicca days. Father, we ask you for giant warrior angels to be loosed from heaven and those to surround us and protect us. Father, and as your war club and weapons of war, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit will break down and undam and blow up all the walls of protection around all witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, and all the like. And Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to break the power of all these curses, their hexes, their vexes, spells, and charms, and their fetishes, and their psychic prayers, their psychic thought, and all witchcraft, the sorcery, the magic, the voodoo, and all mind control, and the jinxes, and potions, and bewitchments, the death and destruction they cause, and the sickness and pain to be lifted, the torment to be stopped, the psychic power, the psychic warfare, and the prayer chains to be broken up, and everything else being sent my way, or our family members' ways, of all of us. Lord, we pray, and we return it, and the demons to the senders right now, and sevenfold back to them, and bind it to them by the blood of Jesus. Father, we pray that these lost souls and these covens, and Father, in these groups, that these lost souls will find the light of your Son, Jesus, and their own snares and their own traps then have been set against themselves. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to loose them from all mind control of Satan. And Father, we also ask that you bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts as a guide to your Son, Jesus. And so they too may be set free from the bondages of Satan. And these things we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, you know that soon coming, according to the prophet Ezekiel, that when you go to Ezekiel 37, he's talking there, when you go through those scriptures, It's about the reunification of Israel and Judah. They've been divided and separated. The lost tribes will be brought back together. That means there must be, sometime, if not already happening, a targeting of the Jews in the different countries to be brought together. They know where the lost tribes are. The ones that need to know, they know. The Jehovah's Witnesses are not the lost tribes. You've got ever Timbuktu, Kalamazoo, Caucasian, in the United States and Europe thinking we are part of the lost tribes. Everybody wants to be part of the lost tribes. Everybody's got some, I don't know, some relative linked up to Moses. I don't know, whatever. And they got CDs and DVDs out about it or something or another. You know. But the real ones that are of the 144, that are the 12 tribes, they're not going to tell you who they are. They're not going to, it's not going to happen. The serious ones, the real ones. They've been trying to find that bloodline since, I guess since Herod, right? But Hitler was there to exterminate it. They all fail. Imagine that. The 10 lost tribes of Israel will be reunited with Judah. Judah and the other Israel, Joseph or Ephraim, holding them end to end, he joined them into one stick. This meant that the two kingdoms were torn apart in the days of Rehoboam, would be reunited. That's a long time. And the king, the Messiah, one king, would rule over them. And they would be saved, cleansed, and restored. And it sure isn't the Israel they got there today. That's the Star of Raphim, the hexagram on their flag. It's not the Star of David. It's not religious. It's witchcraft. It's satanic. It is for blood sacrifice. Somebody should tell Hagee this. Either he knows some part of it or he just doesn't know. I don't know. David, hence the Lord Jesus, would be king and the people would obey him implicitly and God would make everlasting covenant or peace with them. The temple would be set in their midst, but this is still future. See, they got our kids today, and well, adults too, I guess, thinking the Bible's a history book. It's not a history book. I mean, it's a prophet book. It's a prophetic book with 100% chance of it coming true. It's going by the book. There's going to be destruction of Israel's future enemies. Gog is the leader of the foes, and Magog is in his land. He's Gog of Magog, is the Second World War. I'm sorry, Third World War. Whoa. That's yet to happen. Now, your biblical students don't agree on the identity of Gog and the time of the events described in 37, Ezekiel 37, is after Israel returned to the land, but before the millennium. The Gog of Magog described in Revelation 20, verse 8, belong to the period after the millennium. Leads up to Ezekiel 38. When I say scholars, let's talk reality here about quote unquote scholars. There are none. Your so-called scholars at Harvard, Yale, Stanford, I'm just picking them, don't exist. You know why? I'll tell you exactly why. Quote, Charles Francis Potter, a humanist in 1930, education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. And every American public school is a school of humanism. So let's bump it up. 57 years later, Herbert London of New York University said the strides made by Marxism in American universities in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its preachment. By its means Marxist and socialism. And almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar, unquote. Georgia Ann Geyer, 1989, said the percentage of Marxist faculty numbers can range from estimated 90% in some Midwestern universities. At the same time, Roger Kimball said, and I quote, with a few notable exceptions, our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities have installed the entire radical menu, that means Marxist and humanist, at the center of the humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels. Now, when I say humanism, that controls our colleges where our so-called scholars are coming from that write these books. The doctrines and goals of secular humanism, which is of Satan, I mean, that's what it is. Their doctrines is to deny the existence of God. Deny the existence of a soul. Deny the existence of absolute moral laws. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. Deny the existence of rights, of inalienable rights that God gave us. Deny the sanctity of individual human life. Claim that they're only successful in creating their utopia by establishing a world government or new world order. And lastly, basic, they believe the traditional family that we've been set up must be eliminated in order to obtain world peace. There is the basis of your scholars. Now, and their plan is very simple. Well, it's not simple, but to simplify it, is to demolish the foundations of biblical morality, dismantle the family, patriotism, individual liberty, to discard the Constitution and Republic, which is established, destroy the American free enterprise system, and then direct our attention toward the United Nations, which will drag us, and if necessary, drug us into a global government, which is going by the book. So now tell me again about these scholars. What about that? And put more icing on the cake. I talked about it today earlier in my broadcast. Dr. Chester Pierce, medical doctor of Harvard University, addressed 2,000 teachers in Denver, Colorado in 1973. Because you, as a family, you carry on your core beliefs to the children, right? So World War I, grandmothers and grandfathers carry on their tradition, you know, because they're families. To the World War II children, they got this thing objective so close together. And World War II takes on to their children and the baby boomers in the 1950s, and they're bring on to the 19, you got it, every decade. Well, they've quantified each decade to cut down the belief in the system and God. Evidence. So that's why Dr. Pierce of Harvard said to 2,000 teachers, he refers to this carrying on to the family, to the child, at 5 years old. It's where you start tearing down their belief system. Quote, he said to 2,000 teachers in Denver, Colorado, in a teachers' conference, 1973. Dr. Pierce said of children in America, quote, every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances at the age of 5. He comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international children of the future. That's in 73. So what he's saying here is their parents, baby boomers, passed this on. Because a child doesn't learn that at 1 year old to four. You know, he's just hungry and wants to go poo-poo. And he wants to whatever, play with, you know, whatever, ragdoll, something. And then at 5 years old, he goes to school, you see. So what he's saying here is the knowledge qualities of the parents is passed on, or supposed to be, to the child at 5 years old. So you got to start at 5 to corrupt their minds. Now, this is Dr. Pierce of Harvard. Tell you about the scholars again. Oh, I can't wait to hear that one. See what you're dealing with? This is how Satan works. That's massive. And when people hear that, they just poo-poo it off, man, like, boop, okay, well, gosh, that's interesting or whatever. Now let's go about, you got dinner ready, honey? Yeah, they'll pay no attention. You know, anyway. So the end times events is sneaking up on us. And people aren't ready for it. Let's talk about the future. And the future is contained in the scriptures. With 100% chance of success.
Ezekiel 38. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend, and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou, and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates. To take a spoil, and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? To carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy, and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel, as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him, and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, and great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. And I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord.
Now, you know what you've done? What he did here? You know what's said? Now that you, when you have studied Revelation, Jeremiah, Daniel, we're yet to see this. Has that happened yet? How can people say, how can Hagee, how can Carl Gallup, how can Nathan Leal and Quayle and all these others say we're in the tribulation already in some place? How can they do that? They must think we're all stupid. They must think we never study. None of that's happened yet. So how can we be in the end of the tribulations now? How come they named Chernobyl Wormwood that we're supposed to then... you know how far back this is planned? They named Chernobyl Wormwood. They named Barack Obama because they knew about using Barack and the way they do it on the YouTube. And he's Satan, Barack, and lightning strike and all this. That's just nonsense. It's not worth your time. And Jonathan Conjob, I call him, the Shemitai and the Tamashu, Timbuktu, whatever that thing is, and the Harbinger. All that nonsense, total, absolute, satanic nonsense. Confusing people. Making money off of fear. It's an abomination. But that's God's judgment. Not my business. Our business is a great commission. To witness to others. While these others, it's God's business. He'll deal with them. But in the meantime, what is he talking about here in Ezekiel 38? That Israel dwells peacefully. Would that not be the first seal? Would that not be to let them be safe? That it's all over. Our bills are paid off. The 70-year the 70-year cycle paid off our debt. And Saint Germain and El Moria, Sananda Manuel, the false prophet. There's no tribulation coming. The Bible has been misused, abused, and misinterpreted. We're all going to dwell happily together. And we'll just make sure we have a lot of marshmallows around the campfire. And everybody will just be... And these old legalistic born-again Christians, man, get away from us while we're living peacefully. That's the first seal. And while everybody's all safe, putting on the mark, the Jews start their sacrifices of animals again. They've rebuilt the temple. All that would have to occur from a crisis before that to make everybody want it. So something serious has got to happen before the first seal to equal Armageddon, to make it look like Christ has come, but it's going to be an alien. It's going to be an ascended master. It's going to be Sananda Manuel, the one they call Yeshua, the false Jesus. The one that looks like Jesus Christ that we think does. Nobody knows what Jesus Christ looks like, by the way. Nobody. He didn't stand still so someone could paint a picture. He didn't stand still so someone back in the days could carve out a rock face. They say they have one, but who knows? So where did they get this blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus from? Yeah, it's Sananda Manuel, thanks to an avatar by the name of Leonardo da Vinci. Uh-huh. That's where that comes from. The Jesus you think is Jesus isn't Jesus at all. We've been fools since the time we were born. That's Sananda Manuel. The real Jesus will come. But he's not the one we think is in the portraits and pictures and all that. You ever think where that came from? Yeah. Look at Sananda Manuel. That's who it is. That even the very elect would be deceived if that were possible. So they catch him in the first seal, living peacefully. No walls around. Nobody is in fear anymore. Well, I happen to know that these helter-skelter, that these crime tribes and mercenaries and all this from a secular point of view are told that they're going to have the carte blanche to just go crazy. Well, no, there's no laws anymore. That the witches... And that they know that day's coming, and that the day of helter-skelter that's been planned for by an avatar of Satan by the name of Charles Manson. Using MS-13, mercenary squads being set up throughout the United States and Europe. That they're told you have carte blanche. And then it says that when this happens, they're going to end up fighting each other. And I just recall, just remember just a little while ago, when that happens, what's everybody going to want? Protection. Here comes the UN troops out. Here comes the Spetsnaz and the Chinese military and the Singapore military and everybody else going to come out to get the bad guys. The evil shall slay the wicked. That's what's going to happen. So the second seal is a portion of Gog and Magog. Gog from Magog is World War III in the nations. And then it talks about the sixth seal, when he says there about a great earthquake is shaking the ground. That's the sixth seal. The sixth one. It's exactly what it is. And then it goes on to talk about the blood and the rain upon them and the giant hailstones. That takes us all into the great tribulation, the wrath of God that's in the trumpets. That's a summary of the time of events. How did Ezekiel know that when he never even met John? How did John know that Ezekiel wrote that too? Yeah, they didn't. But God did because he led both of them. That's amazing. And right there it tells you. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath, I've spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. That's the sixth seal. In my jealousy, he says, in the fire of my wrath, that's when Israel will sign a confirm a peace covenant with the Antichrist. And that will invoke jealousy of God. And not the jealousy we think. But a different kind of jealousy. It goes on to talk about the rest of the tribulation that the seventh seal brings on. The seven trumpets. All the way to the seven bowls. Right there it is, man. All the way to Ezekiel 38:23. Now, more detail. And if I don't get to 39 tonight, I'll do it on, I might even do it Sunday night, or Monday night. This is destruction of Israel's future enemy is both 38 and 39. Because God is going to carry this through and will lure Gog and his allies to muster their troops. Gog is said to be the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. And that some have taken it to be ancient names from which comes from Russia, Moscow, Tobolsk. And it's kind of a fascinating possibility, actually, but by no means proven at this point. It could be Turkey. Hard to say. And they will move south against the land of Israel. And the Jews will be dwelling securely in walled villages, unwalled villages. And you know, God knows the plans of the enemy even thousands of years ahead of time. He has a plan to deliver his people. That should give you hope. That's what this is all about. And he forces, these forces of Gog will swarm over the land in this second, in this third world war, the second seal. That's described by Albert Pike, his plan of World War III, exactly. This is amazing. But they're going to be met with blazing wrath and jealousy of God. The land will be terribly shaken by a great earthquake. And Gog's men will be terrified by pestilence, bloodshed, flooding rain, hailstones, fire, and brimstone. And you know that the destruction of the enemies of God's people reminds us the Lord's promise in Isaiah when you go back to 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Greater is he in you than in the rest of the world. When do we stop worrying about all this? They don't want us to. See, the destruction of the enemies of the Lord will remind us of that when that time comes. But in the meantime, the God's worried about plastic coffins in Georgia, GMO products. You see. And they're setting things up to be a fake World War III, it looks like, too. Florida, keep your eyes open there in Florida. Because that'd be an interest point for the Bible Belt. It's Florida and Louisiana. The tragedy in the Gulf took people out of there so they could start building up the forces down there in Florida and in Louisiana. And that's where they'd come through. To go through the Bible Belt first. Anyway, time's short. Time's very short. So it takes us to, and that really is 38, so we can do 39. Let's go 39. Let's go for it.
Ezekiel 39. Therefore, thou son of man,
Max McLean,
prophesy against Gog. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee back, and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. And they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the handstaves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forests. For they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Haman Gog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them. And it shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. and they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth the man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamana. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl, and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty, and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken, of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, in my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God.
See, right now they're saying that we got to rise up and have a revolution in the country and all this against a despotic government, when the ones doing that are despotic themselves. It's pretty clear. It'll never, ever work. It's impossible. That God himself will change it. He put us under a despotic government because we brought in the Freemasons. We brought in the captivity of the North American continent in 1492 till now. Has always been despotic and tyrannical. We just didn't know it. God will change the leadership himself, and there's nothing they can do about it. The princes of the earth will shake, right? Well, who's that? That's Illuminati. Who are the princes of the earth? The monarchies. The leaders, and they're all Illuminati. My regular listeners, you already know that. Well, we got them by name. There you go. So 39 is the hordes of Gog will meet utter destruction on the mountains of Israel. Talks about bows and arrows. We're talking about bows and bow ties. After World War III, after the shaking, you're not going to have technology anymore. It tells you. The mention of bows and arrows in verse 3 doesn't mean that the future armies will revert to use of primitive weapons, but it could mean that. A possible explanation lies in the fact that for years, many military powers have been working on inventions that would totally disable mechanical weapons. Have they not talked about the electronic pulse weapons and so forth? If that's perfected, it would necessitate using horses and non-mechanical weapons in warfare once again. On the other hand, Maxwell Coder maintains that the Hebrew words are flexible enough to maybe include modern sophisticated hardware. So bows and arrows might mean launching devices and missiles, you could say. I don't think it's likely, but it could. The horses would mean leapers or could be self-propelled leapers or self-propelled vehicles such as tanks and helicopters, which I also don't think it'll happen. Because there's no computers anymore after the shaking. And weapons in 39, 9, and 10 are not necessarily made of wood. We have to cover both sides. The wood, that word could mean military equipment such as fuel oil and rocket propellants, and many believe. But when you know about the sixth seal, you know that once the computer is taken down, they have no guidance systems. The Antichrist will be a good guy at the first seal, then turn bad, so certain nations will go against him. That's how Satan has everybody fighting each other. The Lord will vindicate his holy name in that day. So it won't be anybody saying, man, where's that coming from? We don't have HAARP. Man, we don't either. Why is it happening? Oh, we don't know. Uh-oh, let's go. We're out of here. Yeah, well, it's too late. Yeah, you see. Because then it'll be God and they'll know it. So when these so-called evangelists out here like Bagley and all the rest of them saying that we have a red river in Pakistan or you have a red lake, there it is, there's the end times right there. That's not what you read or hear in Ezekiel. Does that glorify God, that one little lake or something that turned red, some river in some 10-buck-2 area or something? Is that the tribulation of God? No. There's no doubt in anybody's mind when God sets down his wrath of what's going to happen and who's doing it. There'd be no question. So all this is silly what they're doing today. And high level, Quail and Hawk and Darmarzuli and Dill and Dizdar and all these people they're anti-King James, Springmeier and Rob Sheba, and I'll name them because I've got evidence on it of where they're anti-King James Bible. So to tell you the truth, about 80% of it to hook you. And the hook about Rob Sheba and Springmeier is anti-King James. Quail and all the rest of them, I know, and Hawk and all the rest, they're anti-King James. And pro the Book of Enoch. Oh, and it's all the way it works. Because you see, when the fallen angels come as ascended masters and aliens and all that, the Book of Enoch will then come out of the woodwork and the Book of Urantia. U-R-A-N-T-I-A, something like that. U-T-A-N-T-I-A. There you go. Urantia. That book will come up, and the Book of Enoch will take priority, and the King James Bible will be falling away. Big mistake. So you see, God's wrath. There'll be no mistake in God's wrath. Nobody have to ask that question. You don't need any TV to see it. It'll be front door right there. The weapons of Gog. In 38, 39, 7, 8, very important, because the Lord will vindicate his holy name in that day. There will be no mistake. And the weapons of Gog, strewn on the mountains, will provide fuel for 7 years. So the fact that they will not need wood from the field or forest with which to make their campfires would seem to support the view that the abundance and the abandoned weapons are indeed made of wood. Burial of the dead bodies will take place in the valley of Hamon Gog. That's Gog's multitude, and east of the Dead Sea. That'll take 7 months to bury the dead. So the dead bodies of the horses and riders will provide a great feast for the birds and beasts to prey upon the rotten flesh that's going to happen. And in that day, the Gentiles will know that Israel's captivity was not because God was unable to prevent it, but because of their uncleanness and transgressions demanded it. Hence the Star of Rephaim. Signing the peace covenant, confirming peace covenant with the Antichrist. Turning away from God will come to rest upon them. Hence, mid-tribulation, 3.5 years into all this, is why the 144,000 will come out for God to give them an opportunity in Judea. When the Antichrist shows his face of who he really is, the bad guy that he is, whoever the Antichrist is going to be, it's not Obama. It's not the Pope, any of those guys. It's something we haven't seen yet. Or someone we've seen but not identified yet. Whatever, it doesn't matter either way. God's got it in hand. Who cares? God's in control. That's the point. Israel's restoration will be complete. They will forget their shame and acknowledge the Lord. 144,000 will preach. The two witnesses will sound the trump, will announce the trumpets. And boy, they will not be liked that 3.5 years. Because nobody can touch them until toward the end and they're allowed to die, but they'll come back to life. Whoever the two witnesses are, get over it. God knows who they are. Whether it's Enoch, Elijah, Moses, or two you don't know about. Man, get over it. Nobody knows. And if you did know, what difference does it make? God's in control. So quit worrying about it. And the rapture. Get over that nonsense. If there is a rapture, which I think there will be, who cares? That's God's business. All our business is to take Jesus as Savior and rest in that and do the Great Commission. That means preach the gospel. The rapture and all the other is God's business. The two witnesses, he knows who they are. 144,000, he knows who they are. Our job is to preach the gospel. Whether you identify the two witnesses, what are you going to do? Write a book or something? Or do a Sid Roth, It's Supernatural, and get on TV? What difference does it make? And the rapture, by the time you figure it out, you're done gone anyway. By the time you figure it out and you're not born again, they're gone and you're stuck there. So what difference does it make? I know the rapture is pre-trib. Who cares? I know there's no tribulation rapture. There's no rapture at all. Who cares? If you get with Jesus Christ, it don't matter. But in that mid-trib, when the 144,000 start preaching to the remnant, does not say that when the Antichrist does the abomination of desolation, that it's time to run to the hills. God will provide protection for those in Judea throughout the trumpet's judgment. He'll give them an opportunity to accept him as a Savior by the 144,000 Messianic Jews. That they don't know who they are. They've been trying to find them for decades and decades and decades. They'll never find them until their 144,000 pop up. Surprise! And so they'll have opportunity in Judea. 12,000 from each tribe will preach and be protected during the trumpet. And then comes Armageddon at the end of the 7 years. And Armageddon is that final battle, but it's not really a battle, it's a massacre of them fighting each other. And Jesus just walks right on in and sits right down. And his saints follow him. What saints? Saints, what saints? The saints that were taken up supernaturally. And were rewarded with the crowns as a judgment seat of Christ. They will return. So who populates the millennial kingdom? Well, an aspect of the millennial kingdom after Armageddon, which we'll initially find surprising, is a continuation of birth and death. No more shall an infant from there live but for a few days or nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Isaiah 65, verse 20. So, this fact poses a kind of a problem for those who believe in post-tribulation rapture. The problem is as follows. If the rapture takes place at the second coming of Christ, then all the righteous are taken on at his return. And since the rapture involves a translation of the living saints, all who participate in the rapture receive their glorified bodies. So, if that's so, at the second coming of Christ, there's only two types of people, according to Scripture. Believers who've glorified bodies and unbelievers who remain in the natural body that was left out, left over. Since all the ungodly are purged at the second coming, the only ones remaining to enter the millennial kingdom would be the saints and their glorified bodies. Resurrected saints do not reproduce. Huh. You know, when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage in heaven, in glorified bodies. Okay, Lord. Oh, man. So, what causes reproduction? Man, the Lord tests me every time, I tell you. What causes reproduction? A man gets stimulated. The woman does too. And what happens? Blood starts going places. It makes it happen. Is that okay? But when you're glorified body, you have no blood. You're skin and bone. You're glorified. You don't have the blood. Your heart's not beaten because you're eternal. So you don't have that sexual thing going on because you don't have any blood. Y'all, you ever thought about that? There's no need for heartbeat. There's no need for blood in the body when you're eternal. The blood nourishes the cells because the cells are dying. If the cells aren't dying, there's no need for blood. Ah. So that means that's why they don't reproduce in heaven, but they do when they have bodies here on earth. Just like the fallen angels had bodies here on earth. And they took wives of all they chose, Genesis 6:2 and 6:4, sons of God, the fallen angels. And their lust overcame them, and you know the rest of the story. And the flood took care of that. And then after Nimrod, the same thing happened. That's why God told them to kill every man, woman, and child in those villages, because they were corrupted DNA. Noah was perfect in his generation. It means DNA. Didn't have that. Neither did the wives or the sons. Ooh. So the second coming, only ones remaining to enter the millennial kingdom would be saints in their glorified bodies. Because resurrected saints do not reproduce. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Mark 12, 25. So, that begs the question. It becomes, who is it that enters the millennial kingdom to produce the children which scriptures records them to be born? Well, if you go to post-tribulation position, at the end of the tribulation, all living believers will be raptured out, given resurrected bodies, and returned immediately to earth in the single event of the rapture and the second coming. Where is the judgment seat of Christ in all this? When's the crowns given? Is it? Okay, hurry up. Here's your crowns. Okay, go. We got it. What happens here? That's not working. So it seemed to eliminate all the redeemed, unresurrected people from the earth at the point in time so there would be no one left to populate the millennial kingdom if that happened. So if the wicked survivors are either killed or consigned to Hades, to hell at the end of the tribulation, then there's no one left in the unresurrected body to enter the millennium. They're all in heaven. Hurry up, let's get back down. You see? So post-tribulation rapture, Uh-uh. So it's obviously impossible to incorporate a translation of all the saints. Translation means changing DNA. Now, I'm going to continue here, if it's all right with y'all. And if y'all can't stick around, then I'll just record it and you see it later. But I need to continue this. I can't stop now. I can't stop in the middle of this. This is important. So this is going to seem to eliminate all these redeemed, unresurrected people from all the earth at the point in time that no one would be left to populate the millennial kingdom. So if it happened, it'd be obviously impossible to incorporate a translation of saints. Enoch was translated. Changed his DNA. That's what that means. So there's a translation of all saints at the end of the tribulations. It's impossible to do that. And the beginning of the millennium, as it would result in the saints receiving a spiritual body, leaving nobody to populate the earth in the millennium. Because everybody is saints. Saints will not be reproducing. So you're not going to have a returning saint. I am a returning saint. I was here, and you don't know when we went through. You're cute. Come over here, baby. That ain't going to work that way, because you're not going to have that desire, because you're you have a translated body. So you're not going to be getting, you know, anyway, you're not going to be getting stimulated or whatever. It's uncomfortable. But in any case, so there's an additional problem of how to explain the sheep and goat judgment going on. Now, this one called Jonathan Click, man, he's way out there in left field. Family, get away from these people. Man, they're so far gone, it's not even believed. These people are evil. I'm telling you right now. You got some people that Legrotte something on, they draw funny pictures on their maps with goat and sheep and funny looking pictures of Elmer Fudd on these maps. And you see, they've got people so deceived on this YouTube. Oh, man. But Matthew 25, 31 to 46 makes no mention of a resurrection. It's a judgment of the living nations at the time of Christ's return. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. King James Bible. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Here we go. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Here we go. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Then shall the king say unto them, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them in his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? To thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. See, there's a separation of humans that follow Satan you Illuminati, you better listen up. And you Joint Chief of Staff and you Freemasons, you better listen to this. He's talking to you because you've taken a blood oath. And the lying and cheating that you've done to our country, to our people, to yourselves, to your families, man, you better take heed of this if you're listening. Because he's talking to you. For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me no meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. Well, now see, Freemason going to say, well, we visited the hospitals. We did something for the poor, for the hunger, the widows, and all this. Yeah. But he also says in Isaiah, good deeds are as filthy as rags because they're not done in the proper mindset, the proper heart. Because you live in a sinful state, and you do these to get you out of trouble. It don't work like that. Because it's repentance. You got to follow the whole scripture there, fella. East of stars, ladies. It's simple. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Oh, they get an argument with you on what's everlasting and what's eternal. Try to split hairs every time, don't they? Well, so it's impossible then to incorporate the translation of all saints at the end of this tribulation. Because you've got a mortal crew, a mortal bunch, a mortal population that is yet to live a long period of time. But nowhere there does it mention about a resurrection. So it's a judgment of the living nations at the time of Christ's return, Matthew 25:31. Now, if all the people of faith rise in the rapture and at the end of the tribulation and then return with Christ to earth, who are my brethren and the sheep? Who would that be? Both of which find entry into God's kingdom. Something's wrong there about post-tribulation rapture. Is there not? Furthermore, an adjustment will have to be made to time of judgment at the sheep and goats in this one, Matthew 25:31-46, that if the post-tribulation, before tribulation, or after tribulation picture is correct, reason simple. If the rapture occurs after the tribulations, then all the sheep, redeemed ones, will have been removed from the earth. There's no sheep to be part of that judgment. So it renders the scripture null and void. If it occurs at the second coming. So there's no part of the judgment if it occurs at the second coming, because it's a single event with the rapture, according to the post-tribulation view. So there's a lot of arguments here against the notion that the rapture occurs at the second coming of Christ. That they are one the same event. That's not possible. Now, an answer then to the question. Where does everybody go when God destroys the earth after Gog and Magog with fire? Does anybody ever ask that question? Where is he going to put us? Where is he going to put those that are born again, they're now spiritual, when you've got a flesh on earth that's in the 1,000 years, you've got the saints that are not supernatural, that are not flesh but supernatural. And then at the end of Gog and Magog, when they go to battle and fight, that means they're still physical, right? When Satan's released after 1,000 years, and then the battle of Gog and Magog, the real one, the last one, and then is a great white throne judgment of all those that rejected Jesus are now judged on their eternity in hell. So where's everybody else going to go? When he destroys the earth, destroys the old heaven, and returns it back to its original state, where's he going to put everybody? Everybody else is sent back to hell. And the righteous ones that lived during the millennium, where are they going to? They'll be supernatural bodies. They'll be in heaven. And you'll have eternal life for eternity. There'll be no more kids, no more children. But during the millennial reign, the human population will have been replenished. The ones that had the flesh, that then again went through what you went through, will now have proved themselves between the sheep and the goats, that Gog and Magog, who's on his side, who's not. And after that, all will be supernatural. I've never really heard it explained that. It just all of a sudden it's coming to me, but I've never heard it explained that way, and I never knew it before tonight. I'll be honest with you. You think I know all this? No. I learn it as I go along. Now, I'm with y'all. You know, you think I know this? No, I'm not a theologian. Don't you think I am? Not at all. But I'm doing a whole lot of studying because I don't know a whole lot. But I'm learning as I go along. But this is what's going to happen. Y'all think about it now. And with that, whew. Now I'll have some more to talk about next. I see that there's more I got to talk about this millennial reign. This is the hope. I don't give a hoot about plastic coffins in Texas, in Georgia, or little polka dots on my mailbox, or GMO products and all this stuff. I don't know, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. They're missing the whole picture. All that's just trees, but I look at the big forest here. You know, what's coming? What's really going to happen? And it got nothing to do with me climbing Mount Everest or do my bucket list or all this stuff. Everything you've got today is going to be destroyed. It's all physical. Man, live to the future, not the past. Because that future is coming fast, man, like a choo-choo train. And people aren't ready. Some of them is about as ready as trying to run a train on a dirt road. Well, we're there. I had to keep going on this one. I couldn't stop. It was too much going on. Whew, in my head. So, family, that clears up some things for me, actually. But, darn. I want to close out. And, family, y'all be careful. I now recall the Gulf of Mexico, and they've been putting in Chinese down there. They've been putting in, when they ran people out from that Gulf War, on April 19th, the fire down there, my mind's racing here, but, the oil well went down. That was April 19th. Family, that's April 19th. That's a sacrifice day. And then I started running people out at Louisiana, taking control of Grand Island. And they've got all kinds of weird things going on down there, setting up military operations, Florida and Georgia, Alabama. Family, they're targeting the Bible Belt. Yeah. Well, I just say bring it on, because my God's stronger than they are. And I don't fear death. Man, if they come up here in my front lawn, I'll say, man, what took you so long? What's going on? It's time to go now. Oh, okay. Hey, let's go. I got an appointment to keep. I don't see the problem, actually. Anyway, let's close out tonight, and I hope you got something tonight. Lord, we thank you tonight for Bible study. Thank you, Father, for Holy Spirit visiting, Lord, and leading us tonight. Lord, thank you for your Holy Scriptures, and thank you, Lord, for the prophecies you give us through your Holy Bible. Father, we pray for our brethren. We pray for our children. We pray for those children that's lost it, Lord, that they'll bring them back home. Lord, protect them because Satan is using them as barter and using them to get back, Lord, and to keep us all divided and separated and in fear. Father, to close him down and spread the blood of Jesus around our families and protect us, Lord, and the healing. We call for healing, Lord, and the promises. And we pray, though, Father, in your will, that your will be done. But we do pray for healing, if it be your will, of those we prayed for in the past. Lord, to give us with discernment and wisdom, protection, as fathers we enter this new era that we see coming upon us. And these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family is coming like a choo-choo train. You know, there's things happening pretty quick. And, you know, it's hard to say. And, of course, you could say this all in the past, but I think this time it's really close because they're showing their underbelly. They're showing what they've been hiding all along. That's the trick for me. That's the part that gets me, is that they're showing their underbelly now. They never did that before. They hid it. And whistleblowers in the past that we're going to show, they killed them, assassinated or whatever. Now they're not. They want you to know. Because they'll show you that Illuminati's been defeated. We got them. The reptilians are chased back to planet Kryptoid or Reptoid or Gaiko or something, whatever. And so the Ashtar Command is won. Here we are. Battlestar Galactica. I don't know, whatever. And disclosure and all this sort of thing. And buzz and laser beams and I don't know what else. A lot of lies. And everybody's going to say, peace and safety. Hey. Well, get ready. You know better. So, family, you have a great weekend. And all I can tell you is people get ready. Good Jesus is coming. When? Don't know when. Nobody knows when. It's not 2015. Not 2017. It's not going to be on... Family, they don't know. There's no four blood moons. That's ridiculous. Boy, that torques my jaw. They come up with dates and times and places and all kinds of stuff, and it's not true. Nobody knows the day or the hour of any of it. But you'll know when it happens, though. That's the story. Good night, God bless, and have a great weekend. This is your Watchman, signing off.